Did you bring your Bible? Open Bible Baptist Church. Go ahead and open those Bibles. And open to 2 Peter, if you would, chapter 1. I want to visit that text again. We highlighted a couple of things here last week, if you remember. And I want to continue on with it this morning. We're looking at this subject matter. We're looking at the family of God. Right? The family of God. We're members of God's family. And what a great, great family it is. Don't you agree? Amen. Are you a member of God's family? Amen. Can you say in your heart, I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God? Amen. I sure am. And Peter speaks to the family of God here in this text. And last week, we highlighted verse number 3. But let's go ahead and read verse 1 down through verse 4. Can we do that together? Listen, I'll read out loud. Simon Peter, he introduces himself to us. And this is the same Peter, by the way, who you read about back in the Gospels. You know, it's the same Peter. Now think about this. It's the same Peter that had his ups and downs. How many of us have had ups and downs? How many of us wish that we were more consistent? I think that would have been Peter's testimony. You know, he was the kind of guy that, I don't know, maybe he spoke a little too soon and acted a little presumptuously, right? Did you ever read his testimony? I love it. I love reading that because it goes and shows me that God doesn't just use perfect people. He uses people like me and you, us, right? And so this is the same Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them. He's writing to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So he's writing to us. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Look at verse 4. Whereby, as a result, there are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, there's a purpose for these promises. They're not arbitrary, and they're not to be squandered. No, they're great, they're precious, and they're given so that we might be partakers of the divine nature, or partakers of his nature, or so that we might become like Christ. That's what that teaches there. God's desire is for you and I to become like Jesus. That's why we are called Christians, Christ-like, or little Christs, right? And so here's the purpose, that we may be partakers of the divine nature because we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he goes on and says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We won't go there. But I want to highlight again verse 3. Look at verse 3. He says, according to his divine power has given unto us, look at this, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, let me summarize that statement. Let me maybe share with you what I believe. This is what I believe Peter is saying in verse number 3. Peter's saying this, God has provided for us everything that we need for life. Amen. Think about that for a moment. If you are a child of God, if you are a member of his family, and man, it's a great family, I want you to know that God works to equip us for life. God has provided for us everything that we need, look, for life and godliness. And how does it come? How do we get it? Through the knowledge of him that has called us. In other words, what he's saying is this, God has provided for you and I everything we need for life in general, and life spiritual, in this book, in the Bible. God has given us everything we need, and he equips us for life. And that's what we're talking about here in our series, the family of God. We looked at the foundational members of God's family. We did a pretty good study on that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And now what we're looking at is how, being members of God's family, he begins to equip us for life just like we do in our families with our children, right? As parents, when we work together in harmony, remember we said this last week, the father is the head of the home, the mother is the heart of the home, and when the head and the heart work together, there's harmony, And then there's potential for us to do what God wants us to do in the home, and that is to raise up our children so that they're godly, so that they know God and live for God and make an impact in this world. Well, that's what God wants for us. And so he works to equip us for life. Guys, you going to stay with me today? Perfect. How does he do that? That was my question last week, remember? So how does God do that? And real quickly, just to kind of go back and summarize, we said this: God equips us for life by first giving us gifted men. Do you remember that? We talked about Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 11 and 12, where God has given through time these foundational gifts to the church, gifted men over time. He's given apostles and prophets and evangelists and the pastor teacher, right? You can read this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Last week, if you missed the message, we kind of spoke about each one of those individual. These are gifted men that God gives to the church on purpose. What's the purpose? Verse 11 tells us who they are. Verse 12 in Ephesians chapter 4 says this: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Right? So God gives gifted men to the church to help us grow. And when we are a part of God's family, when we come home, because church services are kind of like a family reunion. And Timothy was told that the church is kind of like the house of God. This is God's home. And so when we come home, at home, God has given us gifted men that teach us the Word of God, break it down. They teach the principles, the promises, the precepts of the Word of God, so that we might grow thereby. And that's what the Christian life is all about. It's progressive. That's not a bad word, by the way. It's progressive. We're supposed to be making progress. How many agree? We're supposed to be growing, and we should gauge our growth. Where am I according to where God would have me to be? Hopefully, I'm not where I used to be. I'm not sure if I'm where I should be, but I hope I'm making some progress. Amen. Right? And so God gives these gifted men to the church. How does God equip us for life? He gives gifted men to the church, pastors, teachers, to help us to grow in our Christian experience. But then also, we said this last time, he also gives us, and I label them as spiritual disciplines. God gives us spiritual disciplines. And we're to use these. For example, God gave us a copy of the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful? Come on now, be honest. Isn't it great to have a Bible? Amen. Isn't it wonderful? You know, and God gave us the book, and you've heard this 100 times, but it's so true. In the Bible, when you read it, you're able to understand, comprehend, and just catch a glimpse of God's mind and God's will. You know, you read about all kinds of wonderful things in the Bible, right? And we have said this before, the Bible has the answer to everything. Amen. Everything. And so it's for you and I to use the Bible and allow the Bible. Look up here. Many of us would say, Pastor, I read my Bible every day. But do you use your Bible?
Oh, yes. That's right.
Do you use your Bible? Do you consult your Bible? Does your Bible come up in your decisions? Does your Bible guide your thinking? Are you with me? And so God, you know, gives us these spiritual disciplines to equip us for life. And one of the great tools is the Word of God. And we're to read it, and we can talk more and more about that. But I think I just want to encourage you today to use your Bible daily. You know, get it inside you. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God, right? And then, look at this. He gave us access to the throne. Think about that. I have a direct access, Donald, to the throne of grace. Amen. In fact, the invitation in Hebrews chapter 4, right? We're going to look at this in just a little bit. The invitation is come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly. So I have access. And you know what we can do at God's throne? You say, yeah, we can pray. But it's more than that. It's more than that. I can be transparent and share my heart. Amen. Huh? How many of us have a hard time being transparent with others because we're not sure if we share something with someone, how they'll handle it? Been there, done that? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I can trust sharing my heart with someone else because I'm not sure if they'll respect what I'm about to say to them. But you know what? That's not true with God. When you're at the throne of grace, you can be you. And you can share your heart. And you can unburden your heart. And you can just tell them, Lord, I'm feeling today, I'm feeling like a real failure. Or maybe you can say this today, Lord, I'm full of myself and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm having a good hair day. You know, I mean, you can just be you. Right? How many of us wish we can have a good hair day? Preacher Riddell, I just happened to catch a glance. Wouldn't it be great to have a good hair day? You know, and so you can be you. Look here, I'm talking about tools that God gave us that will equip us for life. Amen. The Word of God, access to the throne of God. And then He places us in a community with other believers called the church. The church. Can I be honest? I've been going to church for a while, probably since 1982 or three, regularly. I mean, just in a church like this, a good church, you know, Word of God's preached. Can I share this with you? And I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for a long time. Senior pastor for 37 years. Last month, 2 months ago, March. I'll be honest with you. I've gotten hurt quite a few times at church. How about you? Come on now, be honest. Who would say, Pastor, I've never gotten hurt at church? Raise your hand and just stick around. Give me one more week. And we'll put you in the club. I've gotten hurt at church. I don't think I've ever gotten physically hurt, although I'm sure somebody probably wanted to hurt me. But I've gotten hurt verbally, emotionally. I've been attacked. I've been attacked by God's people. Can you believe that? Huh? I mean, I've been lied about. I've been told the truth about. Sometimes that's even worse. Somebody told the truth about them. Oh, no. Huh? People have attacked my children. My wife. But guess where I'm at today? Church. Church. You know why? Because even though I've gotten hurt here, I've gotten so much help here. And even though I've gotten attacked here, I've gotten so much encouragement here. And I know this, I know that God created the church for my benefit, and I can never be what God wants me to be without the help of the church. So I'm not going to take it out on God. I'm not going to take it out on church just because a few of God's people decided they wanted to hurt me. And can I be honest? Go ahead and clap at that. Can I be honest? I've not intentionally, I promise you I haven't because it's not in my heart to be that, but I've hurt people. I've hurt people. I know this through the years as a church leader. I've said some things that I've regretted, that I've had to go back and ask, you know, forgiveness, or I had to apologize. I had to go to that person and just say, boy, I'm sorry, but even though I didn't have you in mind, I was so insensitive when I said that. I just wasn't careful with what I said. How about you? Have you ever hurt somebody? No? Oh, man. Good for you. Maybe you ought to be up here teaching us. But we don't give in. We don't quit. Just because I don't understand certain passages of Scripture doesn't mean I don't read it. Just because there's some times when I pray, I don't feel like praying. Did you ever get that way? Doesn't mean I don't pray. And just because I've gotten hurt at church doesn't mean I stop going to church. Do you know some of the blessings in life is when you just keep going and just continue? And don't give in, don't quit? You know, Peter, you can say a lot of things about Peter, but when the Lord said this to Peter, Peter, tell me a little bit about you. Will you leave? Lord, we'll never leave you. Why? Because you have the words of eternal life. In other words, where he said, where am I going to go? Where else am I going to go? Right? Where are you going to get loved and cared for and taught and encouraged and afforded the privilege to use your spiritual gift anywhere like the church? Nowhere. And so thank God for the gifted men, and thank God for the spiritual disciplines He gives us that helps equip us, listen, for life. Not just spiritual life, but for life. But I want to go this way with this message today, and I promise you I won't keep you. We're going to be just a few minutes longer because I need to give them time to cook the hamburgers. Right? But I want to ask this question. We know how God equips us, but what does He equip us with? And what does He equip us for? Are you with me? Go ahead and ask me this question. So, Pastor, what does God equip us with? I'm glad you asked. Let's work on this together this morning. We're just going to cover the first one, and that is what God equips us with. Next time, we'll look at what God equips us for. Okay? So keep that question for next week. Okay? What God equips us for. But what does God equip us with? I know this. I think we'd agree if we looked at it, we might say, well, if I would say, give me some feedback here. Some might say this, well, Ephesians chapter number 6, He gives us the armor, right? That armor we're supposed to put on. And we would mention things, you know, like the breastplate of righteousness, right? The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, sword of the Lord, right? Sword of the Word of God. And that's all true. And that's important. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to what? Stand, withstand, stand against, stand up, stand for. We need that. He equips us with spiritual gifts, right? You know, each of us has a spiritual gift. I was listening the other day driving to a service and a preacher was on the radio. I was listening to him, and he was going through an illustration I used 100 years ago. Just kidding. I'm not that old. That I used a long time ago, but how to discover your spiritual gift. And he talked about having, you know, seven people around a table, and each one of them representing, for example, the gift of teaching and the gift of mercy and the gift of helps and the gift of giving. And one of the children spills a glass of milk. Seven people around. Child spills a glass of milk, how would you respond? Well, someone would say, man alive, I told you before, when you keep that glass so close to the edge of the table, that's the gift of the prophet, always trying to correct the wrong. Somebody else jumps up and says, oh, wait a second, I'll get the mop. That's the gift of helps. Somebody says, oh, don't worry about it, everybody spills their milk. That's the gift of mercy. Somebody jumps up and says, I'll get you another glass of milk. That's the gift of giving. Hello? And then you sit there and say, but that's the way I feel about it. I yell at them. I clean it up. I get them another glass of milk, and I say it's going to be okay. Right? And so God gives us spiritual gifts, and He gives us those spiritual gifts to use in the church so that we help each other become what God wants us to be. Amen? Amen? However, that's not what I'm talking about. When God equips us for life, He gives us things that are intangible. For example, Peter speaks about, look at verse number 2. Peter speaks about grace. Do you see that? Grace. Go in chapter 3 with me. Same book, chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 18. He said, but grow in what? Grow in grace. You see it? Look at that word. Look at the screen for a moment. Grace. How many of you have heard that word many times? How many has a friend named Grace? And what a great guy he is. Right? Got to just trying to see if you're paying attention. Grace. Do you ever notice this? Do you ever notice how we just throw words around? Make songs about them? But really don't understand and comprehend the depth of them? Huh? God equips us. Peter said, God gives us everything we need for life and godliness. And one of the things He gives us is grace. Amen. I want you to hear this. We cannot live without grace. Right. We can't live without grace. In fact, grace reaches us where we are and takes us to where God wants us to be. Amen. Would you pay attention to this message this morning like it's life or death? And I promise you, you'll get some help And I promise you, this will help you to grow in your Christian experience. Look here for a second. Look at me. Let me be a mirror right now. Look at yourself in the mirror. How much are you really growing? When was the last time you grew in the Lord? And are you closer to Him today than you were a month ago, 2 months, last year? Maybe we're not using the equipment. Grace. Grace reaches us where we are, and it takes us to where God wants us to be. In other words, grace doesn't just show up at salvation. Grace stays with us and helps us to become what God wants us to be. Grace. Let me see if I can paint this picture for you. Grace is a, pay attention to this statement. Grace is a continual work. A continual work. For example, listen to this. Tony, listen to this. You're a student of the Word of God. Grace was there before you even got saved.
Amen.
Grace was in place before you even accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Right.
Somebody say, prove it. All right. Look at John chapter number 6. Help me, guys. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father hath sent me. The Father who hath sent me does what? Draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. You know what that is? That's grace. That's God, God's grace working to draw you before you even knew Him. Huh? Look here. Nobody just happens to get saved. It doesn't work that way. You don't just wake up one day and say, you know what? I think today I'm going to get saved. Bless God, I'm going to get... No, don't work that way. You know how it happens? Here's how it happens. God begins to draw you. He begins to draw us. That's why we always used to say, it's a cute little phrase, but it's so true. You know, people will say, you know, I found Jesus. No. You didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you.
Amen.
He wasn't lost. We were. And grace begins to draw us to Himself before we even knew Him. And I can go on and on and on with that thought because it's so true. God begins to, through His loving favor, through His kindness, through His compassion, He begins to draw. See, He knew long before you were ever thought of that you were going to need Him, that you're going to need a Savior, that you're going to need to be saved. And so grace begins before we even come to Christ. And then it begins to lead us to a place of faith in Christ. For example, how many of you know this text? Go ahead, flip it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. You know that?
Amen.
Let's read it together. Ready? For by...
Grace.
Stop right there. For by what?
Grace.
Grace. Are you...
Saved.
Through what?
Grace.
So it's grace, God's grace. God draws us so that we might then put our faith in what? In Jesus. In the gift of God, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Grace. God equips us with His grace. It was there before we got saved. It leads us to be saved. And then, it doesn't stop there. Then what happens is this. It continues to enable us to live for God.
Amen.
I love this verse of Scripture. It's very understood, but I love it. Flip it. According to the... A what? Paul speaking, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Ask this question. So how did Paul lay the foundation? By the way, the foundation he's speaking about here is the foundation that you and I build upon. Our spiritual foundation. Our faith foundation. Because if you read that text and go on, let every man build thereupon, and then with wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. But how does Paul lay the foundation? By the grace of God. Did you see it? Look, according to what? The grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. In other words, Paul's saying this, everything that I've done, I've not done in my own power. I've done it through His enablement. Grace. Maybe that's why we call it amazing. It was there before we got saved. It leads us to be saved, and then it stays with us and enables us to be what God wants us to be.
Amen.
Boy, that's good Bible teaching, man. That's Bible. And so, you know what I wrote here? Did I write it there? I stink. I didn't write it there. I'm going to write it there right now. Therefore, there is no excuse for not being what God doesn't or what God wants you to be. You and I will never be able to stand before Him and say, and the Lord says, well, what did you do with? Lord, you know, you called me to do this. I couldn't do that. And you know what He's going to say, Donald? He's going to say, I know you couldn't. That's why I gave you grace. That's why I gave you grace, because I know you couldn't do it without my help. So there's no excuse. There's no excuse for not being a good father, a good mother, a good servant, a good son, a good daughter. There's no excuse. God gives us His grace, His enablement. Right? So we know how God equips us through gifted men and through these spiritual disciplines. But what does He equip us with? Grace. Amen. Grace. You ought to thank God for His grace every day. But then there's this thing called mercy. Ooh, mercy me. Did you ever pray that, Lord, mercy me? Pour out your mercy upon mercy me. I preached a message a lot of years ago called Mercy Me. Man cannot live without mercy. Mercy. Mercy me. Have you ever noticed how grace and mercy are linked together in the scriptures? Are you still with me? I'm not alone up here, am I? Because I'm having a good time. Look at this Bible verse. I mentioned it a moment ago, but look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 with me. Let us therefore come boldly. What an invitation. Unto what? The throne of grace, that you might obtain what? See how they're connected? So the Lord says, let me invite you to come with confidence to the throne of grace, right? Where you might obtain mercy and find grace to help. When? Say this with me. In the nick of time. Amen. In the nick of time. In the nick. God's grace is always on time, right? But He gives us His mercy. And what a connection. Now, like grace, mercy is complex. It's a complex study. And I know we've said this because we like phrases, we like statements, you know, and we like to say it this way, you know, grace, mercy doesn't give us what we deserve. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. And there's a lot of truth in that, right? But it's more complex than that. For example, pay attention right here. Mercy is a key component in the plan of salvation. In other words, you could not get saved without God's mercy. Amen. Look at the scriptures. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. So it's not according to your good works. Not according to your good life. No. But according to His what?
Mercy.
He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Mercy. In other words, what He's saying, in a practical sense, it's God's mercy that withholds God's judgment. Huh? I remember being, 16, 17, 18 years old. In fact, I remember being a little bit younger. And every once in a while, we would have an all-nighter. Not at church, but at a friend's house. We stay up all night. Remember those days? Now I can't get past 10:30. I'm asleep on the sofa at 10:30. We'd sit out there, and in the summertime, we'd sit out on my friend's porch, his front, and we'd look up at the stars, and we all became theologians, astronomists, philosophers. And it always came up, we're 15, 16, 17 years old, you know, and somebody would invariably say, so, what do you think about God? Now, we're not saved. I didn't get saved until I was 19. And we're coming up with all this kind of rigmajig kind of stuff, you know? And here's one thing that I knew. The reason I bring that up is because of this. As we continued on with that discussion, pay attention right here. Because I was kind of a sensitive kind of a kid, I grew up around a lot of death. My best friend died. My next door neighbor died, young teenager. You know, kid in my class that was same first name, Sal Spano, died third grade. He died of cancer in third grade. Fifth grade, my neighbor died of cancer, friend of mine. Right next door to me, died of cancer. So these were all impressions, in my life. So I was kind of a sensitive young fellow, but I remember 16, 15, 16, 17 year old, when we started to talk about that, all of a sudden, I wanted this conversation to stop because I didn't know where I was going. And I knew this, I knew that I wasn't living the kind of a life that God would accept. Huh? Right? And so I began to think about God's judgment, you know? And I'm here to tell you today that because of God's mercy, he holds back his judgment and places it from you and places it upon his son, Jesus. So there's a judgment for sin. It's just that when you accept Christ as your Savior, you don't have to pay the price. Jesus paid it for us. And so a key component in the plan of salvation is mercy. And I think the best way to say it is God does not give us what we deserve. I don't deserve to be saved. I've been saved for a long period of time. I still don't deserve it. Huh? You know why? Because the Bible says the mark is perfection. And I'm far from it. How about you? We've all come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. Perfection. But I want you to notice this and pay attention to this one right here. Mercy is also a key component to healthy relationships. You can't have a healthy relationship without mercy. Amen. You know why? Because mercy helps us to understand where everybody else is at in life. Look at this text of Scripture, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. How many of us every once in a while wish that somebody would just give me just a little understanding? I'm not having the best day. I'm not feeling that great. You know, this is acting up and that is acting up, or I just got this news and I just found this out at work. And help me here. And somebody comes along and just bulldozes right into your life, right over your life. Ever been there? Huh? Well, I sense like I'm losing some of you right now, and this is the best part of the message. This is where I can help you the most. Look here, that's life. And in order to have healthy, especially a church, it grieves me to the core when people walk in that door with nothing but their preferences and their criticisms, and they think this place has got to operate the way you think it ought to operate. And you just bowled over everybody's feelings and emotions and desires, and you're the only one that matters. You need a good dose of mercy. Amen. You need a good dose of mercy. Not about that. Right? Not about me having my way. Look here, if I go out there right now, and I like my hot dogs burned, crisp, roadkill. Huh? Why? Because I know what they're made out of. And I figure the longer you cook them, to get the stuff out of them. And if I go out there and there's not one grill mark on it, I'm not going to yell and have a fit. I probably just won't eat a hot dog. I'm certainly not eating coleslaw. I don't care who made it. It looks like somebody already ate it. So now you know, I don't like undercooked hot dogs and I hate coleslaw. If there's pizza out there, I'll eat it any way they have it. And I know what you're saying, maybe we'll just call coleslaw pizza. No, that won't work. But mercy is a key ingredient to healthy relationships. Yeah. It helps us to, in fact, it empowers us to understand the difficulties that others are facing. Right? Look here, you're not the only one that's going through some hard times. You're not the only one that has their back up against the wall. You're not the only one that's got some things going on in their life that just unpleasant. No, if you're breathing, we all qualify for that. Everybody's got something going on, right or wrong? Huh? A little bit of mercy really helps. And it empowers us to offer forgiveness. I was talking to somebody the other day who was asking me a question about somebody they knew who has been holding on to a bitterness for a long, long, long time. And I thought, how sad. That person's got to be so unhappy. They got to be drying up on the inside. Why would you hold on to that for so long? It's not worth it. Huh? I mean, deal with it. You don't forgive somebody for them. You forgive somebody for you. And if you've been forgiven, if you've received mercy, you've now been empowered to be merciful. Huh? Donald hurt me. He doesn't deserve to be forgiven, but neither did I. And so if God can forgive me, I can forgive him. Huh? No, but I want to make sure he gets a taste of his own medicine. So I pray things like, God, get him. Get him. He's wearing flip-flops today. Help him to stub his toe.
I'll get him.
Boy, you got some guys after you, buddy. No, by the way, you can't pray those prayers. They're called imprecatory prayers that only was prayed in the Old Testament. You can't pray that today. Because the New Testament says, love your enemies. Pray for those who wear flip-flops and hurt you. So God equips us with his grace and his mercy. Ready to leave? Can I give you one more? Real simple. Wisdom. God equips us with wisdom. Wisdom. In fact, the Bible says God gives wisdom to those who ask. You don't even need to be wise. Sometimes you just need to be foolish. Say, God, I need help. I need wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. Look at the Bible. Look at the scripture. Look at the screen. If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? And what's God do? Gives liberally. And I like this. Look at this. And upbraideth not, and shall be given him. So God gives us wisdom. Wisdom. In fact, you know, I like this. Here's a good definition for wisdom. You ready? Divine insight. Divine insight. In other words, God, help me to see things through your eyes. That's wisdom. And you know what happens when you look, Jalen, when you look through his eyes? Everything changes. Everything changes when you look through his eyes, right? And I'm not going to labor that. But everything changes. And wisdom gives us the guidance we need. It always guides us in the right direction. Did you ever notice that? God's wisdom always points you in the right direction. Now, what you do with it's another story, but always points you in the right direction. But then he said that it upbraids not. He upbraideth not. What's that mean? It means this. God's not sarcastic. Did you ever get around a smart aleck? God's not a smart aleck. Right? So, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and upbraid him. He doesn't say this. Oh, now you need me, huh? Huh? Oh, you're not as smart as you thought you were, huh? So, how did that go for you? Huh? You want to hold on to that tithe, burning a hole in your... Now you come to me. No, God doesn't do that. He upbraideth not. He's not sarcastic. He doesn't chide you. Instead, listen, he delights. He delights to give us his insight, his wisdom. Family of God, man, I'll tell you what, I love my church. I've loved my church for 40 years. I've been going to church for a long time. I love being in church. Do I love everything about it? Not really. But I don't love everything about anything. I love golf. I don't love everything about golf. I wish I could hit the ball further, straighter. I wish I could putt better. I wish the people in front of me didn't show up. I wish the old people would stop looking for balls in the woods. But I still play golf. I love my wife's cooking. I don't love everything she makes. Oh, I should have never said that. But I eat it anyway because I know tomorrow it might be something better. Huh? You know why I married my wife? Because she made the best egg salad I've ever tasted. I figured that if she can make egg salad taste this good, good grief, I'm in for... And I married her. Now, if you believe that, you're more dense than you look. She does make great egg salad. How many like egg salad? The girl's got the goods on egg salad, I'm telling you, man. Yep. And she don't make it for me no more. Huh? Why don't you make that no more? I don't want you to get tired of it. Get tired. I haven't had it in 13 years. He upbraideth not. And you know, even though I must stop, the list doesn't stop there. He gives us courage to live for him. Huh? Think about that. A fellowship with others for encouragement and accountability. He gives us the gospel. Listen, the gospel, a complete message so that others can be saved. The Lord equips the members of his family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen.
I am. And I'm so glad that I'm a member of this local community of believers, Open Bible Baptist Church. Amen. By the way, let me just say this for safekeeping. There's only one kind of church on earth today, the local church. There's no such thing as the universal church. No, no, no. Don't you believe it. There's the body of Christ. Everybody becomes a member of the body of Christ when they get saved. But in order to find church, you got to go to a local church with an address. 1073 New Brooklyn Road. Best church in South Jersey.
Amen.
You know why? This is where we're members of. You ought to feel that way. Look here, if there's a better one, why are you here? Right? But you won't find a better one, not if you're a member here. Right? And I hope you can say today in your heart, I love my church.
Amen.
I love my church. And then ask this question. What if every member of my church was just the way I am? What if every member in my church attended church like I do? What if every member at our church gave like I do? What if every member of our church served like I do? What would the church be like? Would we be crippled? Or would we be thriving? Because every member is important. And we all have a part in the body of Christ. Amen? Well, God bless you, Open Bible. Happy anniversary. I think Preacher Riddell's been around here a long time. Honey Klee has been around here a long time. The Vandermans have been around. Dave Klee. A lot of these folks have been around here a long time. That speaks volumes. Bob Nickturn, Bob Smith, Mrs. Jones. Almost called her Mrs. Smith, but now she goes by Mrs. Jones. We have a little joke together. Me and Mrs. Jones. Love you, sister. Love you, brother. It's a wonderful thing when you have people that have been members of a church for that long, right? What a great testimony. I guarantee you this, you get around them, they've been through some stuff. Huh? They're not just here for the good times. They were here during the rough times because that's life, right? It's ups and downs, just the way it is. And I pray that you would get plugged in. If you're not a member of this church and you attend this church, man, just don't let anything keep you back. Come and talk to me, talk to one of our staff members. But more importantly than being a member of church is being a member of his body, being a member of Christ, being saved. And I hope you know Christ is your personal savior. Because as I said last week, membership is still open in the God's family, right? You can join today. Let's pray together, may we? Our Father, thank you for allowing us to gather on this Sunday morning, special day for us here at church as we celebrate 76 years of ministry in Williamstown. Thank you for that. Thank you for the Word of God. How rich, how wonderful, how helpful. Thank you for the church being a family. And here in this family, we're equipped for life, spiritual life, and life in general. Might today grace and mercy and wisdom and courage and fellowship and the gospel abide deep within our being. Might we consult, might we use those attributes often. Bless your people this morning. If there's someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, may they this morning, in this service, this afternoon, as we have this picnic, grab a hold of one of us so we can talk with them and lead them to a saving knowledge. And for those who are members, may they say in their hearts, I love my church and I'm so glad I'm a member at Open Bible. Bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand together.